environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Hello and welcome to this The Healing Sound Show. The date is December 10th, 2014, and I am Jonathan Goldman. You're with me, and we're going to have a great day today because my guest is an extraordinary being. Her name is Barbara Hero. Barbara is an artist, composer, mathematician, and writer. She is the inventor of the Lambdoma keyboard that is designed to help our well-being by calling us to harmony of spirit, mind, emotion, and physicality. The Lambdoma is an ancient diagram of harmonic ratios attributed to Pythagoras, which Barbara has been working with for over 50 years. Barbara has published articles about the Lambdoma keyboard's effect on the human behavior in various magazines. She is the founder, director of the International Lambdoma Research Institute. At the age of 90, Barbara is one of the true pioneers in the field of using sound as a therapeutic and transformational tool. I am so honored to have her as a guest. Welcome, Barbara Hero. Barbara, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Jonathan.
Great. So listen, I am going to, you are an artist, composer, a mathematician, and a writer. And I usually say, ask my guests, what is it that, you're also one of the great pioneers of using sound as a healing modality. You and I first met in the 1980s, and I know you've been doing this work long before that. What was it that put you on the path of investigating sound as a healing modality? How did you get there? What's your story?
Okay, well, I guess my story begins when I was about 3 years old, and my mother actually had me take piano lessons for, arrangements of the classic composers. And I did that until I was about 12. And then I actually became more of an artist in my 20s. My mother wanted me to be that. And so I gave exhibitions. I had exhibitions of my work. My mother and I had a two-person show at the Corcoran Gallery of Art in Washington. And so I actually wanted to find a connection between music and visual art.
Ah.
And so that's how it all happened. And it wasn't until I found this wonderful Lambdoma diagram, which is called a mathematical table, that I realized I had to know mathematics.
Wow.
So I got a master's degree in mathematics at Boston University.
Well, so you are a BU alumni?
Yes.
Me too.
Boston
All right,
University.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got my master's degree in math education there. And
wow.
That's what spurred me to try to figure out how, and I found that it was mathematics that was the connection between art and music, because sound has both a frequency, which is time, and it has a wavelength, which is space. So I was able to actually hear the sounds of this wonderful mathematical table, and then to see the shapes that the sounds produced, at least as your figures. So all of this was happening back in the... I was about the time I met you, strangely enough.
Oh, yeah.
That I started doing all of this, in the workshop you came. That was my very first workshop that I gave with Robert.
Wow.
But the 80s was a very important time, I think, for all of us.
Yes, so there was some remarkable stuff that happened in the 80s, and... Boy, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later, but please continue with your story. Actually, let me ask you some questions first and foremost, because you just said something that was huge in terms of time and space and sound. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Oh, all right. Well, sound has a frequency, as you know, which is like pitches, intervals.
Yeah.
But it also, in fact, it has a longitudinal and an amplifying. You can draw, you know, a little map showing how the amplitude goes up and then the time is on the horizontal. So you can just make anything with that into both frequency and wavelength, which is geometry, really. And
yes.
That's why the mathematics of this lambda is based on ratios. And ratios are really fractions. And so actually you can almost take any number and make it into a frequency of sound. And also a visual harmonic of a geometrical harmonic.
Okay, let's keep going in terms of, so there I've met you and you're working with this Pythagorean formula. Where did you find it?
Well, there's a book called Tone, A Study in Musical Acoustics, and it was actually printed in 1961, and it was by Leveri and Levi, two professors at New York University. And when I saw it, I realized it had a bunch of ratios in this 16 by 16 matrix, square matrix. And underneath each one of those ratios was actually a horizontal row, which was the subharmonics, and then the vertical row was the subharmonics. What I did, that, because they didn't work with frequencies then, so when I was working with frequencies, I had to turn that around and make the horizontal rows frequencies or ascending harmonics, and the lower rows were divisions. One was based on multiplication, the ascending, and the one, the downward one, was based on division. And so we could go all the way up to 4,000 hertz on the ascending and all the way down to 16 hertz.
For our audience, this chart. So we have like a square block, and there are numbers going across, and then there are numbers going down, and it kind of looks like a crossword puzzle without the black, places, and those are full of numbers. Yes, is that sort of what the Landau diagram looks like?
Yes, it was full of ratios, of fractions, and they would all start at the apex of the left apex, and then as you went down, you would go down on the diagonal, which would become 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, until it got to 16, 16. And each one of these, for instance, was 1, 1, that would be a C frequency, and then you'd get arpeggios, and then you would start at the 8th harmonic to the 16th, you get a whole scale. And it would be the same thing with the, you get a subharmonic scale from the 8th subharmonic, which would be 1/8. And so all I did was, I knew that you had to put frequencies in hertz or cycles per second in the 1/1 position, and then that would transform the entire 16 by 16 matrix into a pure harmonic, sound.
It's kind of like a numerical roadmap almost, huh?
It was. And it's just, and then what I did eventually with the Lambdoma I made it into a diamond shape.
Ah.
And that's what it looks like now. And if you go to my website, you'll see pictures of it. And I also color-coded it in terms of Pythagorean color-coding for musical intervals, so that C is red, D is, D would be orange.
Yeah.
E would be yellow, and so forth. It would go on up.
So we are, Barbara, I want to get back to, we're talking about the 1980s, and my
yes.
having met you, and my asking this question to you about the Lambdoma. I was going to ask first, for our audience who don't know, what are harmonics? Can you give us an explanation of them?
Well, a harmonic would be when you actually have a note that matches another in a wonderful harmonic way. I consider you can actually see harmonics when you use wavelengths, because they look like perfect geometric figures. And when you combine harmonics, you see different shapes. This is what part of the Lambdoma does. The software is done by Marshall T. Smithy, who is Robert Walker in England. And he helped with the... We sent him a lot of this software, Robert, my partner and I. But then he's really perfected it in wonderful ways. And that's what I use now as the as his program for the keyboard, because you have to have a computer, a Windows computer, to run it.
Yeah, so let me just, a lot of our audience may not be aware that when a string vibrates, there are actually multitudinous simultaneous vibrations that occur that are
yes.
mathematically or geometrically related to each other, so that when we hear one sound, it's not really just one sound. It's actually a multitudinous number of sounds that basically fit together, and these other sounds are called overtones, as
yes,
well as the
right.
Sort of fundamental frequency. Would that be correct?
Yes, that's true. But when you have ratios, you can say play a 3/2, and you'll be getting a musical third. So you can always make them look exactly, for instance, the 1/1 is a circle. Whatever you start with, whatever frequency you start with in the 1/1, and that carries throughout the entire matrix.
Interesting. So you have, discovered this Lambdoma in this book. Was it an instant sort of, you looked at this and you said, I have to dedicate my life to this diagram because I know it holds some sort of secret, hidden secret that I've got to uncover? Was there some sort of like bolt of energy that hit you when you first saw it?
Yes, it definitely was. And my hand actually reached up in the Boston Public Library, found this book. And when I started going through it and saw the diagram, I had this wonderful aha experience. I wasn't in a tub, so I didn't jump out of that. But it was definitely an enormous thing that I stopped painting, which I was an artist at that point, and I devoted the rest of my life to working with this and then manifesting it as a real physical, instrument.
Yeah, I have a secret to tell you. So that book Tone that you're talking about
yes.
by Levy and Levare, I guess it was last year, began looking on the Internet for used copies because I had a copy, mm-hmm. but I thought, gee, this is, it was a great book. It still is a great book because the information about sound hasn't changed.
Yes.
And it basically wasn't too difficult. I've got some books on the physics of music that are just like, you know, oftentimes will have you, you know, scratching your head. But this is really, so I went online, I started finding different copies, and all of a sudden, I guess the word must have gotten out, because I sent about three or four copies to different people, and then I went on again, and all of a sudden it went from costing like $10 or $15 to being like $60 or $100, so it's not very hard to find.
Well, there's one thing they didn't do in the book.
Yeah, what's that?
They used only wavelengths. They just used distances. So, in other words, a subharmonic. They used a subharmonic of 4. And because since they didn't use frequencies, they didn't know about frequencies, I don't think, in the 60s. So I had to figure out putting in a, you know, hertz frequencies in the 1-1 because to make the ratios work. See, a ratio is a fraction, like a 2/3, a 5, you know, 5 to 4, 8 to 9, I mean, or 9 to 8. But actually, when you go into the inverse of these, which means turning them upside down, you get a subharmonic.
A subharmonic.
And when the numerator is larger than the denominator, it's a harmonic which ascends. And then the other, when you turn that into, say, instead of having 2 to 1, you have 1 to 1/2. The 1/2 becomes a subharmonic. So you have a whole division. A complementary division between sounds. And that's one thing that I don't think any other musical instrument has that.
No, I want to just jump in for a second and say that this idea of subharmonics, which is basically... We talked about harmonics before being, you know, frequencies that are actually geometric multiples. That means they go up. But here you're talking about something that is a division. And I remember that subharmonics were oftentimes, when I would look at these books, they were theoretical, but they didn't exist. But I will tell you that when the Tibetan monks do their... that sound, that growl tone, is actually a subharmonic. So there we have it, folks.
Yes.
Anyone who knows about this and doubts it, it exists in nature.
Of course it does. And it definitely does. And even physicists have not really come to terms with subharmonics. So I guess, you know, I was shaking the tree a little bit.
I'm going to play an excerpt. I've got some pieces of music to play for you. And this is from... Lamdoma recording of yours. And this is you playing piano. In the Lamdoma.
Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're with me, Jonathan Goldman. The date is December 10th, 2014. And my guest is Barbara Hira, who is an amazing person who, at the age of 90, has been working for over 50 years with an ancient Pythagorean formula called the Lambdoma. And she was telling us about how she first found this, and then she started telling us about having a keyboard made, and that's the next part that I want to ask you. So, Barbara, you then, after you discovered this and you made this relationship between sound and color, when did you have the keyboard made, and how was it made? Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, I had two engineers working on it. One was Robert Folkrod, whom you met and know, and the other was Richard Lord. And they were able to write the software programs and some of the hardware. Then what we did, we found a manufacturer who put it all together, and then we still were using Robert Walker. Well, we actually sent Robert Walker a lot of our ways of building it, but he is a software engineer, so he mm-hmm. did. And we actually sent him in England a keyboard so he could attach it, you know, to his computer. So anyway, it was really with engineers and manufacturers that we got it, you know, able to be manifested in the form it is.
Now, you need a computer with this keyboard.
Yes.
In order to get the sounds. Now, one thing I'm going to tell our audience is that a regular piano keyboard is not harmonically related. Actually, I was just writing about this, and I believe that the steps between the different notes on a regular, what is called an equal temperament, is based upon the either the square root of 12 or the 12th root of 2, something like that. 12th root of 2. So it's a mathematical distance between the notes which makes them exactly equal. But those wonderful ratios that you were talking to us about
They fall in between the keys of a piano. So that's why I'm using the black keys and the white keys as trills. That will illustrate what it might sound like closer to what the keyboard would sound like.
Nice. So when did you first have your first keyboard, Lambdoma keyboard, made?
That was in the 80s, and we had it made by a man who actually made five of them. But because one of the engineers had to go over everything he did, he had to redo a lot of the things that his first manufacturer did. But then when we found the other way, he's very good, and he still has some left. In fact, we were able to sell about 40 or 50 of them to Taiwan, and that was in 2011.
Wow.
And I had to go over there in 2011 and 2012 and teach a lot of adults how to use the Lambdoma keyboard, and that was fascinating. And now they're continuing on their own, and there's a woman in Hong Kong who has 8 students, and she's doing music on it. I'm so glad that's happening over there in Asia.
Oh, well, so I have three things I want to say. First of all, if people want to contact you more or see some of your brilliant artwork, that is, and see what the Lambdoma is like, they go to lambdoma.com, and that's lambdoma.com. So that's how to get in contact with Barbara.
Yes.
And
www.lambdoma.com. Yes.
And that's my first question.
That's just me through email.
Yeah. My second question to you is, how can the Lambdoma keyboard be used for healing?
Well, that's one of the things I found out once I had made it. I used to give workshops when I would give a talk on the Lambdoma and the wisdom of the Lambdoma mathematics, sound, and so forth. And when I started giving these private sessions, I found that if people were very depressed, they would go into a very joyous, happy frame of mind at the end of this thing, because I would use not only, I broke it into four quadrants. One was the emotional, one was the spiritual, one was the physical, and one was the clairvoyant. And I had them find their own keynote first, and then find the chords in each of these quadrants, and then say one word. And the word was... What?
Barbara, we're going to come back, talk more about this, but I would love our audience to hear just a little bit more of your... from the Lambdoma sampler, and then we're going to find out what the word and how the word relates to finding your keynote. We're talking to Barbara Hero, who at the age of 90 is one of the great pioneers of using sound as a healing modality, and here we go, just a little bit more, coming back on the Lambdoma.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Hello and welcome back to this The Healing Sound Show with me, Jonathan Goldman. It is December 10th, 2014. And my very special guest is Barbara Hero, who for over 50 years has been working with this ancient Pythagorean formula called the Lambdoma. And she was just telling us about how this keyboard could be used, among other things, to help people find their keynote, and we'll talk about that. I'm going to ask you how people do that, Barbara, and you're saying that you would have them say a word, and can you take off from there again?
Well actually, what they do is they find a frequency on the matrix, on the keyboard, that they like. And when they find the one they really like and resonates with them, I then set the monitor to that frequency that they chose. And then, and this is on the computer.
Uh-huh.
So then after that, I don't have to set it anymore because they go through the four quadrants. First emotional, and then they find a three-note chord. And they have to search for this to find something that they like.
So
and then
you make
they can
them
watch
it,
the shapes.
You make them do it themselves, kind of.
Oh, yeah, everything is by themselves, yes.
Oh, good.
And so for each one of these quadrants, they, after finding their keynote, they play their own chord, and then they say one word. So they now have four words. In fact, the fourth quadrant, I ask them to ask themselves a question silently, and once they find their chord, and when and what happens is that the word that they say after they find their chord is actually the answer to their question. So they really have wonderful, wonderful words that they can write their own haikus, their own sentences. And
wow.
This is one of the things I develop later, but this is what I do now when I give sessions.
Nice.
And but I don't really do too much of that here, because I have friends now in Sarasota who are, they have a keyboard, and it's very good too. I go there once a week, and we're doing quite a lot more. We're working even with how much it's like the Kabbalah, how it's a very amazing thing, because it has its inverses. It has complementaries. Like on one side there are the positive, the other side the negative, or not really negative. It would really be positive, and then the opposites.
Yes.
But that's the duality we live in.
Yes. You, all right, I have to ask this question first. I have still a whole load of questions. Actually, the first one I want to ask is, when people find their keynote, do you base it on the fact that they sort of just really like it and it feels comfortable and good to them?
Yes, yes. I once asked, well, somebody once said to me, what happens if I pick a keynote and I don't like? So I said, well, try it. So he did. And the words that came out were all about death and destruction.
Wow.
Whereas when they picked one that they liked, the words were very positive. Love, harmony, beauty, all of these things. Very interesting.
Yes. You know, it's last month we had as a guest guy, a doctor by the name of Bruce Lipton, who's very well known, and he kept talking about good vibes and bad vibes, and
right.
You know, what you were just describing was a great example of bad vibes.
Yes.
I guess. All right, my next question to you is, do you, after having worked with the lamb, this if you like, this diagram that was said to have come from ultimately Pythagoras, can you tell us anything about Pythagoras that you think about him?
Well, Pythagoras, of course, was very interested in the, he worked with ratios, mainly the ratios of 2 and 3. And, but he only used the harmonic ratios. And what I found out when I went to China is, they use the subharmonic. The harmonics are really plus, on the plus side. Subharmonics are on the minus side. But the Chinese, I think one of the reasons the Chinese liked working with the keyboard was it was the Western world and the Asian world that they could actually, you know, put together. And as I say, it's the only instrument that I know of that has the subharmonics, which are inverse ratios, inverse fractions.
So,
versus 3 to 2 versus 2 to 3, for instance.
Right.
One would be an F, one would be a G note on a scale if you use C as its beginning.
They
would all be frequencies, because I started with frequency 256 for C, which is it's closer to the note B on the Western scale.
Interesting. So do you think that Oriental music might have more of its roots in Pythagoras?
No, it has more of its roots 5,000 years before.
Really?
And it's the minor side of music, which
wow.
We don't do. But I could tell, because what they would choose for having different instruments, which you could do on the computer, they would take wood blocks, they'd take ocean, wind. They'd take a lot of, and actually they did like synthesized sounds too.
Uh-huh.
But I just thought it was a very fascinating dichotomy, you know, that they had. And I know that they, they're still working with the keyboards. I'm so glad. And doing wonderful music with them.
Yes, wow. So you went to Egypt, didn't you?
Yes, that's where I met Donald Beeman. Yeah, that was in the 1980s. That was 81. Again,
wow.
I said the 80s was just a very crucial time many of us, I think.
Anything you'd like to say about Donald Beeman? Because Donald just crossed over to the other side fairly recently, and I thought we might just honor him for just a minute. What would you like to say about Donald in 1 minute?
Well, he actually was a mystic. He was a very wise man. I followed him in Egypt everywhere because I knew how important he was just as a human being. And we kept, in fact, I even introduced him to his wife, which is amazing, in Egypt on another trip.
Sarah Benson.
And he met her in Luxor, and it was wonderful. It was dusk. It was evening, and it was just wonderful to how his eyes lit up just seeing her. And I always felt so good. I went to their wedding too.
Ah, that's so beautiful. Thank you for that image, because. Sarah, I was just writing about her. I call her the divine mother of sound healing, and she was just great. We are talking to Barbara Hero, and who can be found at lambdoma.com. You're with me, Jonathan Goldman, and we are about to go for a break, and then we're going to come back and continue talking with Barbara about the Lambdoma and other things here on the Healing Sound Show.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
And welcome back to this, the Healing Sound Show. It is December 10th, 2014. I'm Jonathan Goldman. My guest is Barbara Hero, artist, composer, mathematician, and writer, and the inventor of the Lambdoma keyboard. So, Barbara, we've been talking about the Pythagoras, about the Lambdoma keyboard, about harmonics, etc. And you even gave me a beautiful image of our dear friend Donald Beeman and dear friend Sarah Benson being in Egypt together and meeting for the first time. Really lovely. Perhaps this show will stimulate some interest in our listeners in the Lambdoma and its potential use for healing, and that is just a wonderful thing, because you've been working on it for so long, and I'm so honored that you agreed to come on the show.
Good. I think it helps one to know who they really are and to know their inner self, because they do all the work. I mean, they're the ones that choose it. They choose the chords, they say the words, and it really relieves physical, spiritual, and emotional pain. And I'm working now with two people in Sarasota, Florida, one who has a water bend, and when sound goes through water, she has a keyboard as well.
Oh, nice.
And so you can actually feel where the sound is coming from in the body.
Yes.
And so we're going to be working on chromosomes, as a matter of fact. The actual chromosome, I've developed a protocol of using them, and they will work with each organ of the body. So if people come in with a certain organ they know is has a problem, we can actually play it, and or they can choose their own keynote, whichever. But anyway, we're working with that. We're going to try to be writing a joint paper, and we meet every week, and it's very wonderful to still be alive and doing.
Oh, yeah, well, I bet you that you've used the lambdoma to help you live to such a ripe age.
Probably. I think that's it, yeah. And, because whenever you enjoy and love doing something that you think is going to help others, it keeps you alive, I think.
I think that that is very true. Listen, I have a question. If you had 2 minutes to talk about the healing power of sound and consciousness, what would you say?
Well, I think sound does heighten consciousness, makes one conscious of who you really are. I mean, that's the thing. I think most people don't know who they really are, including myself. But to be able to see yourself through sound, through playing something you really like, at a frequency that you really like, it's the way you do, you know, with the atoning. It's just obviously the consciousness is improving of all of humanity and probably mineral, animal, all of it, human. I mean, we're just really going, ascending in consciousness, I think, right now.
Nice. I agree that there is an ascension, and what a blessing to be on the planet at this time and to be able to experience all the very, very interesting things that happen. We didn't talk about cymatics right now, the fact is oftentimes, when different forms begin to shift and change, there's a bit of chaos, and then structure occurs.
Right, exactly.
So
that's what I like about having your harmonic sounds. You know, that's just the lambdoma or the toning that you do. Or even the singing bowls, Tibetan bowls. Yeah. Everything is just wonderful.
They're all really, really great. I am talking to Barbara Hero. Lambdoma.com. That's lambdoma.com. www.lambdoma.com. Barbara has been working for probably around 40, 50 years with this ancient Pythagorean formula for healing that is basically manifested in an instrument that she has created called the Lambdoma Keyboard. And you can find out more about it at her website. Lambdoma.com. And Barbara, it has been a blessing to have you with us. And everyone, it is holiday season now, so happy holidays to all. Barbara, thank you so very much. We're going to go out now listening to a little aspect of, once again, your recording of Chromazone. I thank you so very, very much for being our guest. Blessings of light and love through sound to you, and here we go with...
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chromazone. A little bit more.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Well, hello, everyone, and goodbye, everyone. It is December 10th, 2014. You're with me, Jonathan Goldman, and we just heard from Barbara Hero, who is truly one of the great pioneers in the field of sound healing. And I want to wish you all a very happy holiday season, a great forthcoming new year. Tune in January 14th, 2015, when our guest will be Eileen McCusick, who is the author of Tuning the Human Biofield, which is a recently written book. I know you'll enjoy it. So much love and light through sound for all of us in this coming year. Many blessings now. Bye-bye.